Everybody, welcome to Pod Stallions. This is the October 30th episode, and it's almost Halloween. I'm Brian, and with me, as always, is Jason.
Hello. I was trying to do something spooky. That's not very spooky.
That sounded like the big bopper.
I was probably a big bopper. That was horrible.
You'd be the ghost of the big bopper, I guess.
I'll try. Forget it. I was going to do Good Evening. I was going to do Peter Lorre. Bunch of different things.
You chose the big bopper.
I chose, for some reason, it was either that or Richie Valens, just to commemorate their deaths. But I'm way off on all of that. So never mind. Welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're having a good spooky end of the month, Halloween vibey kind of time.
Yeah, this is actually my favorite time of the year. I'm an autumn. I love fall, and I love monster movies, and that's all that's on TV right now.
Well, I hope that at this point everyone is aware that we are completely gaga for Halloween. That's our favorite holiday. Your reasons, my reasons, monster movies, monsters in general, Mad Monster Party, monsters worth of candy,
yes,
Monster Munch, the monster cereals. Are you sensing a theme yet? The smell of Ben Cooper Halloween costumes.
I like that smell.
Isn't it a great smell?
Yeah.
I swear to God, it's better than baking bread. You know what? It's non-denominational. Anyone can partake in Halloween. It's got nothing to do with anything but fun and scariness. And, of course, women sometimes dressing kind of sexy. But mostly it's the monster stuff and candy and classic horror movies. Let me ask you something before we even get into this. If you had your druthers, now we did top 10 scariest this and that, but would you like to curl up with a Butterfinger and a bowl of popcorn and some black and white monster movies, or would you like to curl up with the same kind of food, but like Poltergeist and Beaches?
Yeah,
and Clockwork Orange. No, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like more modern kind of
stuff. I'm actually in the middle. I like drive-in trash. Those are my, like, the Mad Doctor of Blood Island, Paul Naschy werewolf movies. Like that's the kind of stuff I dig, and I've mentioned that before. So, but I love Hammer. We should do a Hammer episode. I love Universal, but I tend to like my films. I tend to be more of a junk food type, you know?
Oh, explain, please.
Well, like, all this month on AMC has been a lot of horror movies, and God, there was a Leprechaun marathon on the other day.
A Leprechaun!
Yeah, that's all I know. I have no interest in any of that. I don't care about Jason or Freddy, but I do kind of like shock and exploitation movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you mean like Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave kind of?
Those are a little, I don't hate them, but they're not my favorites. I like I said, I like Filipino monster movies, I have a whole cabinet of. Most of them have John Ashley in them for some reason. I love the European stuff by Paul Naschy. He did a whole series where he played El Hombre Lobo. And, our topic tonight, I love Japanese monster movies.
Is that our topic tonight?
It's Godzilla, yes, yes.
Wait, what have the Japanese got to do with monster movies?
Nothing at all. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Here's the reason. I know you asked me before we started taping. Well,
yes,
is Godzilla
yes.
yes. a Halloween topic.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, because when I was a kid, I didn't explain this to you, I just said yes, but when I was a kid, we'd have a Monster Mash week on Channel 2 in Buffalo.
Okay.
And three out of the five movies would be Toho movies. They'd be like Frankenstein Conquers the World, Godzilla, you know, Godzilla, Reptilicus. Like, it's all a welcome bag for me.
Well, okay. We're getting into an area here, folks, just so you're paying attention, where either Brian and I are having some kind of early Pod Stallions related dementia, or we've already done so many of these, we've kind of forgotten the bags we've sort of dipped into. So I know we've talked about Godzilla before, but
Japanese toys.
But so your love of Godzilla really did. I mean, I think you love Godzilla and those monster movies. I dig Godzilla and those monster movies, but you know them much better than I do. But both of us can say we were kids and these things ran on. Did it only run during that sort of Monster Mash?
No, I think they ran at different times during the year, but that was like a concentrated burst, you know? You could get two Godzilla movies in a week, and that was crazy, you know? When I got older, they played them every Saturday on Buffalo 29, which was fantastic.
But they say a double bill kind of thing?
No, every week they used to... Oh, what I'm saying is there a couple of stations used to play like a creature feature all week during the week of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And some crazy stuff would get out. You know, some stuff you never saw before, like Frankenstein Conquers the World, War of the Gargantuas, Godzilla vs. the Thing, Godzilla's Revenge, things like that. So, they're part and parcel with Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting, because for me, it's more like that Godzilla was kind of perennial. I mean, for me, it was more like a Saturday afternoon thing.
Yeah, that happened later for me, and maybe mileage varies for where you live, right?
Okay, got it.
Like, I mean, I can remember second grade, my mother's birthday, and when I was crossing with the crossing guard, a kid said, "You better get home. Godzilla versus the Thing is starting."
Ooh.
And I remember thinking, first of all, I had this mental image of Godzilla fighting James Arness or Ben Grimm.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't know who the which thing was it.
What was it?
It's Mothra.
Oh.
And case in point, just last weekend at a toy show, I found the Super 8 of Godzilla versus the Thing.
Ooh.
And it was like nostalgia overload, you know, whoosh, right in the coat.
Wow.
It wasn't expensive, but. The
Super 8, can you watch it kind of thing?
I have a Super 8 projector, sir, yes.
Nice! Yes.
Which my kids are fascinated with, but it'll take them, like I could just go look it up on YouTube, I'm sure some kind soul's done that, but it's the whole journey, right? so that began, like I think children are fixated with Godzilla right away. He appeals to kids.
Okay.
You agree? Because I love dinosaurs as a kid. Godzilla's a big dinosaur. He blows up cities. He fights other monsters.
Yep.
It's just written for children, in my opinion.
I think it's a combination. He's got that odd combination that didn't change for a long time. And again, I am no expert on these films, but I would say the basic facial design was probably the same from original through the 60s almost.
No, actually.
Did it? Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? With the big eyes and like the sort of mouth, it's kind of a cuter look rather than an angry.
Well, no, the first film, the one with the one they added Raymond Burr to.
Right. The American version with Raymond Burr.
Yeah.
Right.
He's very different looking in that. He's
okay. So besides
it's a
that
darker,
one,
more adult film. And I think he looks the same in the sequel, which was known as Gigantus the Fire Monster here, or it's been retitled Godzilla Raids Again in later years. He's still that look. As I recall, and I could be wrong, and call me to task, what the people at Toho realized was that the Gamera movies were doing real good, and the Gamera movies appealed to kids a little more than the Godzilla movies, so they softened Godzilla in the 60s.
Okay, here's what's going to have to happen along the way. Is remind us, Gamera is the turtle one, right?
Gamera is the flying, because you know turtles fly.
Yeah.
The giant flying turtle that, you know, hit movies have become, I think, a Mystery Science Theater classic. And
yeah, can you do the song?
I can, but I'm not going to.
Are we going to get in trouble with licensing?
I don't think so. I
can you hum a few bars?
No.
Come on.
You know, nobody wants to hear me sing.
That's that. You know what, people? Write in if you don't want
to
hear.
Write in, yes. Write to our P.O. box.
Write to our P.O. box. Guy Caballero. Yeah. Care of
send $1.85 for your 3D glasses. no, I am a huge – I'm not a huge fan of Gamera. I like his movies, but I do kind of like that goofy Godzilla. Like, I think – when they brought Godzilla back in 1984 and added mm-hmm. Raymond Burr again, they kind of wanted to pretend like all that crap in the middle didn't happen. But personally, like, those are some of my favorites. I really do like 60s and 70s Godzilla movies. As I get older, and this is a phenom that kind of bugs me, but I've told this to friends of mine who are Godzilla fans, I could care less about the people stories. And I think that's the challenge of making a Godzilla movie, is making the people interesting.
Okay.
But I think I do kind of just dig that whole retro future thing they were doing, and just how fun those films are, really.
Okay, so two quick questions. One is, do you think when you go back to those you know perennials that were always on, you know, and the you know, what is the audience kids? Is the audience kids that then grew up to be teens and they're finding, you know, some adult stuff in there? There's some romance. There are certain faces that adults will kind of recognize in American television that made their way into films and Japanese, you know, stars, et cetera. And then there's the goofiness. There's the goofy factor that, you know, when Godzilla does that thing where he does the Curly Joe, you know, he's, you know, doing his face. You know, like doing the that whole thing. Is that meant to be totally goofy? Because or he does the whole jumping and he just it's beautiful. I love it. I could watch it all day. But was it meant initially to get laughs the way they were fighting, or was it meant like this is as serious as a heart attack kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the one you're talking about there, because it's the most famous Godzilla movie that is Godzilla versus Megalon. Which okay. was released here around 1977, and it was competing with King Kong, so they put Godzilla and Megalon on the World Trade Towers for the poster.
Oh,
and but I think it's older. I think Godzilla versus Megalon is like 2-3 years older. It's not great. It's okay. pretty goofy. Mystery Science Theater bagged on it pretty successfully. It was one of those films that, like, it's sort of fallen in public domain, but not really, because you can't you can't market it. But when VHS came out, it was in every dollar VHS bin, you know, with a bad cover. And I don't think you could put Godzilla on the cover. So there's a lot of really bad bootlegs of Godzilla versus Megalon. And it is, rightfully, it's pretty bad. But I think, you know, the heyday of Godzilla would have to be the mid to late 60s when you had stuff like Monster Zero, Godzilla versus Ghidorah, Destroy All Monsters, which is, you know, a highlight for every kid.
It's Monster Island. I mean, that's where they all hung out. Yeah. It's like Island of Misfit Toys, right?
Yeah, yeah. And coincidentally, there was a movie released here. I think one of the last Godzilla movies released here was, I can remember it, Godzilla on Monster Island, and he's on Monster Island for about 10 seconds in that movie. it's like absolutely one of the lowest points. It's one of my least favorites.
Is that the one with the little one that blows smoke rings?
No, Minya, his son, is in.
Is it really his son? Did the blood test come back? I mean, is it really his kid? Do we know that?
Did you see that, Maury?
I'm just saying look, I think it's safe enough. It's been enough time that's passed. Godzilla, he got around. I mean, he didn't just – he wasn't – you know, you're in the – God knows what he did down in the ocean or whom.
I'm really not sure how it is. I don't know why a baby Godzilla looks more like Poppin' Fresh. And I think a lot of people don't. I think there's a.
This was the 70s. You know, yeah. This was the 70s. When everyone was
the 60s.
60s. Everyone was experimenting. There were all kinds of new drugs on the market. And it's, you know, they used to say you're pulling a Poppin' Fresh. That was slang back then. And now we know probably why. It could have been that something happened between Gojira and Poppin' Fresh, resulting in, what was his name? Chip. What was the kid's name?
Minya.
Yeah. Close. Yeah. That was close.
Yeah.
Who knows? But the second question is, which is the one that starred a guest star, co-star, was Johnny Yuma. What's
Nick
his
Adams.
Name? Nick Adams.
Yeah, Nick Adams is in two. He's in Monster Zero.
Yep.
Which is a film I recently watched and I quite like.
With the awesome alien wardrobes, right?
Yeah, they are. In fact, your friend and mine there, Joe Senna from MC Toys, he uses that as his avatar.
Oh, right on. Well, they got those badass Ramon sunglasses.
Yeah, and I remember when I was watching it, the first thing I thought was, and I told him this, I said, oh, Joe Senna. And it's like, oh, give me a break. but he's in that film. And then he's in Frankenstein Conquers the World. And then I think he of course, returned to the USA and
killed himself.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. He killed himself. I mean, it's you know, killed
there himself. Was actually, this is a weird sidebar, but I used to read Psychotronic magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I still would if Psychotronic magazine was still a thing, but he burned out a while ago. And there used to be an ad in the back where a guy was selling original songs. And one of the ads was he had an album dedicated to Nick Adams and I guess this doomed love affair he had in Japan while filming the Godzilla movies. And I was always like, what a weirdly obscure thing to write a record about. And, you know, how many people are this curious? Like, I was curious, but not put money in an envelope curious.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what? I love Frankenstein Conquers the World, but that's not really Godzilla. But yeah, Nick Adams. And then I think in the sequel, they got Russ Tamblyn to play the Nick Adams character.
He was in West Side Story.
Yep.
He became better known as Dr.
David Cross's father-in-law.
Who?
David Cross's father-in-law.
David Cross's father-in-law? He's David David Cross? Who's David Cross? David Cross?
Show Arrested Development.
David Cross is married to Amber Tamblyn?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, David Cross. Okay, I'm like, I thought you were saying a character name. I'm like, wait a second. Okay. But also, he was Dr. Blah Blah on Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Dr. Tongue.
He's also in in Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Now, okay, so Nick Adams, did he kill himself because of the Godzilla movies or because of the
Japanese? No. Yeah, I think that would very much be depression and alcoholism.
Can you sing the Johnny Yuma theme?
I cannot. I have never seen an episode of Johnny Yuma.
I can sing it.
All right then. I could go get another beer.
Forget. You know what? I was all ready to give a couple of lines, but you won't do Gamera, and I somehow don't have it in me to sing Johnny Yuma. The great Johnny Cash did Johnny Yuma.
I have never seen that show.
Now, okay. So here's a question. Two questions. Again, all of my questions will be two-part questions.
Uh-huh.
The first part is, did you start – what as far as Godzilla merchandise went,
yes.
When do you reckon that sort of kicked off? Like what film or what year sort of did suddenly the market go, ooh, we should make – was it the 60s? Was there Godzilla stuff in the 60s, like mid-60s?
In Japan, it's a different story, right? And I am not an expert on all things Japan.
Yeah.
The first thing I can think of that came out Godzilla-related in the United States would be the Aurora model kit. And that was huge because, you know – Aurora was doing real film classics here, you know, Frankenstein, The Wolfman, Mummy, Dracula, and then King Kong, which of course has been a staple of television for years. And then they do Godzilla in the mid 60s, which means, you know, he had it made as an icon. You know, I think there was a 60s Godzilla game.
Okay.
And I think it's quite dear. I think somebody I know owns it. And then, you know, there was some model kits, and of course the films got released by those Super 8 companies. Then I think all hell broke loose in the mid to late 70s. I think that was a real great time to be a Godzilla fan, and that's when we were kids. Mm-hmm. When, you know, Mattel got on board by releasing, which is probably the greatest 70s Godzilla toy, which is the Shogun Warriors Godzilla in 78?
Okay, in America it came out as Shogun. Was it Shogun? Was that the line in Japan?
Jumbo Machinders?
Jumbo Machinders,
but
okay.
What I've been told by people smarter than me is they came out at the same time. Poppy developed their own. And Mattel developed their own, and I've got both here. And the Poppy one is.
How could anyone be smarter than you?
Oh, there's lots of people. What I don't know can fill a warehouse. The Japanese guy, like, it looks like.
Okay, so for those of us that maybe aren't quite as familiar with the world of Godzilla, so what's the big difference between the Shogun Warrior Godzilla and the Poppy Godzilla that came out in Japan?
Okay. Well, for one thing, the Mattel one is a lot more rounder and safer. The Japanese one has it's more movie accurate. It looks more like the movie Godzilla.
Okay.
And it has, you know, the big tail spikes and the back spines. They both have the shooting fist, which is strange, and the wheels for their feet. Mm-hmm. But instead of the flicking tongue, this one talks, and I actually have it here, so I'll pull the string. Hang on. Okay, that's not it. Okay, it's not going to say. It's not going to.
Sounds like he's shooting. Does he have a revolver?
Yeah, they're shooting. Yeah, I guess he's supposed to come with a revolver. I don't know. Let's try one more time. Oh, this is like when you pull a talking G.I. Joe, and he just keeps saying, "I have a tough assignment for you."
That's just what I was going to say.
There you go.
Yeah, I heard something.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to keep pulling that string because one day it's not going to pull. But
that's actually a metaphor for life.
It
actually
is, yes.
But let me ask you this: this is a tiny bit of a sidebar here, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing like the shooting fist, like everyone listening knows, like, well, Godzilla's fist never shot off across the room, but because it's of Japanese origin. It's a toy of Japanese origin. We all kind of go, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense because they, you know, they had fists shoot up. Like, I used to have the Takara R2-D2 die-cast, the 3PO, and the Vader, which really were just, like, their torsos were die-cast. But you know, 3PO had a missile that shot out of his chest.
Yeah.
R2 had silver missiles that shot out of his dome.
They were weaponized. And, you know, I would like to have seen a Star Wars movie where that happened.
I agree. I'd rather see 3PO finally get his by shooting somebody in the face with his chest missile. Vader had a weird thing too. But like, is that what is that? Does that come from somebody? Does that come from the whole giant robot thing? Where
I'm not 100% of as to its origins, but you know, in America, Godzilla was marketed under the Shogun Warriors brand. And I think in Japan it was marketed under its original name, which was Jumbo Machinder. And that was like a trademark of the Jumbo Machinder, was like the firing missile hand.
Right.
And I think it's an important play value. And, you know, it's one of those things that, sure, it doesn't make a lick of sense. I mean, Godzilla's not a robot and he needs his hand. But who cares? It's fun. And
I love it.
Me too. And I mean, I... That was one of those things I tracked down very early on, was Godzilla. And then Mattel released Rodan, but Japan did not. So,
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And that's, I think, why Rodan's so valuable, is the fact that Japanese collectors are after him too. He's not released under the Shogun Warriors brand for some reason. He's released under like the, I can't remember the branding, but it's like Super Monsters or something.
Oh, interesting. I did not, I don't think I knew that Rhode, I just assumed that he was
a Shogun Warrior.
Yeah, yeah. And he never came out in Japan, huh?
No.
That's interesting.
And I just got one.
You just got one just recently?
Yeah, I had one in high school, but I just recently got one loose. And I'm
so without having to reveal too much, none of our business, what would something like the Rodan, like in packaging, run your average Joe?
Yeah, you know, a few years ago I had a Rodan in the box, and I think I got him for $350. And it was a sad circumstance the way I got him, because it was something –
The Rodan, without getting too detailed, what would something like that run your average Joe if you wanted to track one down?
I would probably say a lot. I used to have a boxed one about 7 or 8 years ago. I paid like $350-$400. It was a bereavement issue. Something about it being in the box just didn't work for me, and I sold it, I think, for $400 or $500.
Wait, sorry. You got one in the box and you didn't want to hang on to a boxed Rodan?
No, there was something, and this is weird, and this is very rare of me, because I like boxes, I like package toys, but that was such a fun toy, and to have it just shoved in a box meant it was just, I can't explain it, it just didn't seem fun.
Was it sealed?
No. It looked like it was someone's childhood toy, and it had been very well taken care of.
Oh, okay.
And it just didn't work yet. You know, I had a loose one in high school, and I just recently bought a loose one because it's a great thing to hang from the ceiling. Like, it's an amazing toy to hang from the ceiling. And I'm very fond of Rodan. My daughter loves Rodan. It's just one of those things. But we're getting... You know, we were talking a bit about the 70s explosion of Godzilla, and there was a plethora of amazing licensed products available to the late 70s kid. Mattel did an amazing Godzilla game. Have you seen that?
I don't think so. Like, this is not like animated series specific, you mean?
No, it's all like... Oh. It there isn't very much, and we'll get to the animated series. There really isn't much based on the Hanna-Barbera series. I think Imperial Toys did some stickers, some puffy stickers that show the characters of the Godzilla television show.
Okay.
And Knickerbocker, and I had one of these, did plush Godzilla and Godzuki from the series.
Wow, those have got to be like gold dust, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I still have my Godzilla, and my daughter actually, when she learned how to sew, fixed him because he was starting to get a seam.
Wait, what about Godzuki?
I don't own a Godzuki. Pardon? Yeah, I got pictures of the displays even.
Oh, you got to put these up.
Yeah, man. I definitely will. Godzuki is not my favorite. In the world,
he's not
below Scrappy Doo or Cousin Oliver or any of that sort of stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that. The three of them can only save one of them in a burning bus about to go over the cliff. I'd grab Godzuki.
Oh, me too. Yeah,
I would, because Scrappy Doo doesn't shut up.
No. That's what I'm trying to say, is he doesn't annoy the crap out of
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying he was beneath.
Beneath them in terms of
your level
of top of the top of the pyramid is hatred.
Gotcha.
You know, Godzuki. Like I loved the Godzilla cartoon when I was a kid, but it really doesn't have a lot to do with Godzilla.
And no, but see, I'm sorry to be this guy. You just kind of, for me, described why I don't love the Godzilla movies the way a lot of people do, is there's never enough Godzilla in them. There's never enough. I don't really care about the little alien women that want to kidnap this guy or kill the old man or, you know, Johnny Yuma, you know, having to make out with someone on a spaceship. I want to just get to Godzilla fighting a monster or...
But you can't watch that for 2 hours.
Oh, I could watch that for 2 hours. I could watch it for 3 hours. Yeah. Well, no. Okay. Let's say it's a 2 hour thing. I could still watch that for 90 minutes. I just, when you start breaking down how much of these films are concentrated, even the new one, like even the new one for me came alive when Godzilla was on screen, and especially when he lit up. Because when he lit up, at that point, we hadn't seen it, and I actually forgot that that's what happens when.
Oh, Godzilla that was magical. And,
that
and
was magical.
The, you know, I understand what you're saying. I think the real. And we should probably go through a list of Godzilla's films and talk about our favorites and least favorites. But when I think of when I think of Godzilla films, my favorites are the ones where the people running on the ground story is interesting. And my least favorite ones are the ones where I don't give a crap about any of them. And I think that's really funny that you bring that up. Is you're like, I don't want any of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because... you know, you go through the list, and the first film, Godzilla, they really try hard
mm-hmm.
with that. And especially even the American version, they amazingly, when you look at how they put Raymond Burr into that film, it's pretty well done. And, but, and of course, Godzilla's a bad guy in that one, so it's more of a typical menace
film. How many, can we just clear the decks here?
Yeah.
Of the however many dozens of Godzilla movies that have been made, what's the percentage that he's basically a bad guy or kind of ambiguous? And then what's the percentage that he's clearly the hero, the good guy?
You know what? His heel turn stopped pretty quickly. I think he did about three or four films. Like the sequel, he's a bad guy, Godzilla Raids Again, or it's called Gigantus the Fire Monster. King Kong versus Godzilla, it's clearly Godzilla's the bad guy in that one.
Right.
And then Mothra, or Godzilla versus the Thing, Godzilla versus Mothra, he wants to eat that egg, so you're kind of rooting for Mothra.
Right.
And then when the script flips for Ghidra, the three-headed monster, because mm-hmm. all of a sudden Ghidra's the bad guy, and Godzilla and Mothra have somehow made friends, and Rodan, so they kind of all team up to beat up Ghidorah. So, from what I've heard, the heel turn was largely inspired. Well, sorry, not the heel turn, but the good guy turn was largely inspired by Gamera. Am I got that okay. right?
I don't know.
No, I'm wrong. I'm absolutely wrong. Godzilla made the good guy turn before Gamera even came around. What happened was the Godzilla movies were influenced by Gamera in that they became more less mature by the late 60s because the Gamera movies were selling to kids. And the Gamera movies are very juvenile. So all of a sudden, the Godzilla movies got pretty silly mm-hmm. in the late 60s. Now, mind you, everything got pretty silly in the late 60s.
That's true. Especially those hippies.
So, yeah, I would say Godzilla turned good in 1964 with Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. Guess what that's about?
And is it about Watergate?
Yes. Watergate, which hadn't happened yet.
Right. There were talismans.
Yes.
To Watergate.
And then the next year they had Monster Zero, which was pretty much a repeat of Ghidorah, except you had, I believe, aliens and Johnny Yuman, Nick Adams.
Johnny Yuma was a rebel.
Never seen it.
Just that's the Johnny Cash song.
Oh, okay.
He rode through the West. There you go.
Nick Adams, of course, did, I think, two films for Toho, Monster Zero and Frankenstein Conquers the World.
And then killed himself.
Yes.
Coincidence? Maybe not.
Alcoholism? Depression?
Possibly.
Perhaps.
But which came first, the alcoholism or the Gojira movies?
They probably were in tandem.
Yeah, and fair enough.
This is one of the things I've always I have to bring it up because it always makes me wonder is back in the pages of Psychotronic magazine in the early 90s, there was a guy selling his records of his, you know, his songs. And yes. He apparently had a whole album dedicated to the doomed love affair of Nick Adams and a Japanese actress.
Oh, like he probably met on a Gojira movie.
Yeah, and it was like, wow, that's a really interesting topic of an album.
Yeah, and it's no Dark Side of the Moon. But
yeah, I was really curious as to what that sounded like. You know,
I would have thought you would have tracked that down by now, just to kind of
so little time.
I know. It's true.
Each week, I discover a movie I've never heard of. So. You know, and I'm very distracted, easily distracted.
I know.
Yeah.
As our episodes can attest.
Yes. Yes.
So wait a second. So Nick Adams, blah, blah, blah. Now let's get back to the cartoon real quick, because we're talking about merchandise. Was there, you know, first of all, was that a Filmation show? I think
it was Hanna-Barbera.
It was Hanna-Barbera. Because what I was going to say was, you know, all those damn shows, Filmation, Hanna-Barbera, they all threw in a Scrappy-Doo at some point. Even my beloved Filmation Flash Gordon animated series.
Yes.
By the second season, they had to do away with the chapters because that confused too many networks for syndication. And they had to do standalone. So there were two, like, 8-minute things in each episode, two different things in a half hour. But they brought in this little pink dragon called Gremlin, which from certain angles looks an awful lot like a pink version of Godzuki. Wait, Godzuki or Gadzuki?
Godzuki.
Godzuki. Yeah. And I know that the voice of Gremlin was done by Lou Scheimer. He made all the little twerps.
Lou Scheimer did a lot of those twerpy voices.
And then that's why I thought, oh, I wonder if Godzilla is the same company and perhaps he did the voice as well, but no, that's not the case, is it?
No. No. Godzuki was done by Don Messick.
Oh, good old Don Messick.
And so, Ted Cassidy did Godzilla because for some unknown reason that I've never been able to toy, they weren't allowed to use the roar.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Really?
They could use the name and the design, but they couldn't use the roar. So what I was going to get to was there a glut of, especially you'd know this, the time frame, animated series, Godzilla, and Rack Toys. Was there like a glut of Rack Toys done? I picture like awesome squirt guns or dart guns or little mini play sets all on a card that I can go look for now because you're going to tell me that they existed. But maybe they didn't.
They didn't, but I will say the greatest Godzilla Rack Toy of the late 70s would be GLJ, which is a company you don't hear a lot about. They produced a little bendy of Godzilla, and they did this wonderful card art. I think it's in Rack Toys.
Oh, yeah.
Of Godzilla, and they, you know, they could have just drawn him or used a poster, but instead they smashed a little diorama with, like, trains and that sort of thing, and they have that bendy on the card, and it's just wonderful. I mentioned the stickers. There wasn't a lot of, if anything, Hanna-Barbera related, but Godzilla was, you know, pretty sewn up to, like, Mattel, who also released a line of toys at that time, which would be considered Rack Toys, but not really. It was called Godzilla's Gang, and these were Popey vinyls, and in fact, I think even the feet have Japanese writing, and it's of Godzilla, and then the six other characters in Godzilla's Gang are actually, like, Ultraman and Ultra 7 villains.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, they did, you know, they just, they're all Godzilla's gang, even though they really aren't. So they had that going on. And around that time, HG Toys released one of my favorite Godzilla toys of all time. And this is something I remember seeing in the back of Famous Monsters and thinking, how do I get this old toy? It's called Godzilla versus the Tricephalon. And again, it's another thing where they licensed Godzilla, but they couldn't license another monster. I don't know how Toho works, but I think they're pretty expensive. So they created another monster that looks a lot like Ghidorah. And it's a town, and it's, you know, it's got built, it's got a mat that looks like city streets, and then you it comes with a boat and the army and people running away and soldiers and planes, and basically it's like the grooviest little Green Army Men playset you ever saw in your life.
Awesome.
Yes, there is even an old lady waving her cane at, you know, I guess you're supposed to put that in front of the monsters.
Well, everyone knows that a monster will stop for a senior citizen with a cane.
Of course, they're just like you and me.
Isn't that interesting, though? Like you would think if anything was screaming out for playsets with little tanks and little army men, that it would be the series of Godzilla movies. That you would think there were literally dozens upon dozens of such playsets to choose from, because it would just seem like, you know, just add water to that. Even the new movie, I forget who did the toys for that, but they put out a couple little box sets where it was like,
oh, it was really hard not to buy that stuff.
Yeah, Godzilla and the other monster, and then like little skyscrapers that broke in half.
If they were just a little less clunky, I would have, like, they look so, those skyscrapers just look so cheap. But if there was just a little more care in there, because, like, I don't remember if you remember, they did an Ultraman TV series here in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of flopped, and they made these amazing toys for
it. Yeah.
And one of the things they came out with was the Ultraman Smash and Thrash City playset, which again was like a plastic mat and buildings that fell apart. And okay. I loved that thing. I thought it was amazing.
Well, didn't they do – wait a minute. I remember these because the Ultraman, the figures, I think they were made by Bandai.
No.
What?
I can't remember the name of the company.
I thought it was Bandai. But anyway, so it was – they came in – but the creatures came in boxes.
Huge boxes.
Huge boxes. The creatures were pretty cool. I'd have to look this up. But wasn't there also like a ship?
Yep.
Or did you just say that?
No, I didn't, but you're right. What was – Ultraman Towards the Future was the name of that show. And it just didn't really get proper syndication. So these toys were on Toys R Us shelves, and kids didn't know what they were.
I didn't know where they – I was suddenly going, oh, my God, this. Where did this – you know, like I remember once being at a Target store, like in the early 80s maybe or something. And you know the Japanese – I think I'm going to get it wrong, but it's called Macross.
Macross, yeah.
Macross. Like I'd only seen such things like in catalogs, like – you know, some of those things that you and I would mail away for, and it was like all Japanese toys or model kits or things like that. And suddenly there was like this set of four vinyl figures from that show with Japanese packaging, like on an end cap at Target.
Well, I think when the Transformers thing happened, everybody just scrambled to get robots, because I remember I worked in a toy store at that time, and we were just getting these shipments from China, you know, over Hong Kong, and they were all, you know, from some animated show. And I figured out half of them were Gundams now. But
yeah, well, I used to love the Gundam stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Gundam, the white one. The white one that everybody knows.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Love that, dude. Okay, so there wasn't a ton of Godzuki, I mean, animated Godzilla stuff like Rack Toys and stuff like that.
No, it's you'd think it would scream to. Imperial Toys got the license in the late 80s and really went to town with the Rack Toys. And, of course, that they produced that rubber Godzilla that everyone seems to own.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did kind of take full advantage. They did inflatable Godzillas. But that wasn't until about like 86 or 87. So that was like another wave of Godzilla mania, you know?
Okay.
But, I mean, going back to the film franchise, by the mid-60s, I think they were pretty much rolling out one a year. And they were getting a little silly, like Son of Godzilla introduced Minya, that little Pillsbury doughboy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then
smoke rings, right?
He blew smoke rings. And then we got Destroy All Monsters, which was that movie that kids talked about on the playground. You know, like, you seen the one with all the monsters? And it was kind of legendary.
Everybody was in that.
Yeah. And I can remember, I can honestly remember like racing home from probably like church or something because somebody told me it was like on at one, you know, because it was, you know, it was huge. It was epic. And if you couldn't miss it. And then I think it's 1969. They came out with All Monsters Attack, which is really, it's also called Godzilla's Revenge. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the one geared to kids. And it's the one where Godzilla's son talks, and it's largely thought of as a bit of an embarrassment. I don't know if it's a success or not, but, you know, Godzilla kept coming. So
I don't remember him talking.
Yeah, it's the goofiest one. It's like a little kid's fantasy. And I've honestly never sat through it all. I accidentally bought it in New York City the last time I was there, because the wife and I are walking through a subway station, and as we walk down the tunnel to get to our next train, there's a video and music store. Just, you know, wall-to-wall DVDs, and I can see signs that say Kung Fu, Godzilla, and I'm like, I gotta go in here. You know, and she humored me, and but I also didn't want to spend all day in there, and I was going through the Godzilla movies, and they come under so many titles, and, you know, I'm still kind of stuck in that mindset of going by the titles I knew as a kid, and I accidentally bought the wrong title, or the wrong Godzilla movie. But I figured it's something my daughter and I would watch, so who cares?
I'm sure you're not the first man that bought the wrong Godzilla movie.
I'm sure. And
they can be a little difficult to...
Well, you know, I should have gone for the next one, which is one I like, called Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, which came out in 71. And it's a little more serious. Godzilla's fighting pollution, basically, and it's a
really.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was so environmentally conscious.
Well, he's environmentally conscious for Godzilla. Pollution manifests itself as something he can hit.
But I mean, doesn't he? I mean, it's ironic. It's slightly ironic because he spends an awful lot of time destroying stuff. You know, like the city, what they must go through, and the taxes probably get raised every year because of the shit he pulls. And yet he wants to preach about the smog. I mean, slightly hypocritical, don't
slightly
you think?
Slightly hypocritical, but
just a little.
You tell him. And in 73, Godzilla vs. Megalon came out. Godzilla vs. Megalon is absolutely a disaster, but it's one of my favorites. It's the one with Jet Jaguar.
I love Jet Jaguar.
And we didn't get that here until like 76.
Was he
Ultraman Inframan ripoff.
He was
a robot. Yeah.
He was a robot. Okay.
Yeah.
But he wasn't
Semaphore.
He did Semaphore, and he, boy, what a design though, huh? Do you know who's responsible for that design?
No, but
I don't either. But what a great, that's just like everybody knows that Jet Jaguar. Like, and people don't even know it. They go, when you show them, they go, "Oh, I love that dude." Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what he did, but I love that dude.
He can grow really big.
Yeah, but his coloring, man. He's got great coloring.
Yeah, and the backstory is kind of hilarious in that one. I think it's basically like an Atlantis-like continent, and it's the scientist and his buddy, and the scientist, of course, creates Jet Jaguar, who summons Godzilla and Anguirus, I think, and they fight Gigan, and as I recall, it gets pretty wrestling oriented, you know, I skipped one. Godzilla versus Gigan, which came out in 72. That one's really bad, and it was released here in 79 as Godzilla on Monster Island. Do you remember that one? That's one with the cockroach people.
I remember the title on Monster Island,
but he's not on Monster Island. He doesn't spend any time on Monster Island.
I remember Godzilla on Fire Island. That was
different. That one gets a little blue, adults only.
Not what I expected when I rented it.
It has you questioning things.
It had me question many things, including Gojira and why he would holiday in such a place.
I grew up when he's gone.
But wait a second. You just said something about something.
I did.
Yeah. You true. Said. Yeah. No, but you said. Godzilla versus who? What was it?
Well, you know what? I went all over the place. There was Godzilla versus.
Let me ask you this. So we know that We know that Gamera had a song, right?
Yes.
Did Mothra have a song? Did Rodan have a song?
Well,
did...
I think Mothra had a song in that those two little girls would sing a song to bring.
That's right.
You know, rather than but I can't repeat that song.
And by the way, was Mothra as the caterpillar and as the big giant Mothra, or was he just Mothra when he changed into the big giant moth?
Shut up. That's why.
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know either. Sometimes he's a caterpillar. Sometimes he's a moth.
This is what's going to keep me up tonight.
I think
now.
He's cooler as a caterpillar, personally.
I think so. What's the one, though? What's the one we were talking about that's like he looks like he's made of wax and he's always kind of dripping? The face is kind of long. His face almost looks like the Morlock figure from Tomland, right? Remember we talked about this? He's got kind of a melty face. Is he the Smog Monster? Is that who I'm thinking of?
It could be the Smog Monster, or it could... Yeah, I think it's the Smog Monster. Hedorah?
Put it this way. If you, from looking at the Smog Monster and then hearing his name, it doesn't quite jive, right?
Well, it's an interpretation of what Smog Monster would look like. I guess. I think it's Hedorah you're thinking of.
Okay, maybe yeah. that sounds right. That sounds plausible.
And then in 1974, my favorite Godzilla movie came out, which is Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. And it goes back to our conversation about interesting backstory and the fact that they started to rip off Planet of the Apes with this one. The aliens are gorillas who, you know, they change into gorillas. It's kind of cool and fun. And, of course, Mechagodzilla is a great idea. Godzilla is joined by Anguilla and a character that thankfully they never brought back named King Caesar, who's kind of like this goofy Pomeranian dog.
I don't remember that guy at all. But wait a second. So we had Mechagodzilla. We had Mechakong.
Yeah, Mechakong was only in King Kong Escapes, though.
But was there another Mecha, or were those the only two Mecha versions of...
That's the only two I can think of right now. Okay. I mean, maybe... I didn't watch the 90s, a lot of the 90s Godzilla remakes. I did watch the Mechagodzilla one, but I can't remember any more. And, of course, Mechagodzilla was so big, they brought him back in 75 for Terror of Mechagodzilla. This is one of my least favorite Godzilla movies we already talked about in our least favorites episodes. I just kind of find it boring and tired. And I guess so did Japan, because that was the last Godzilla movie for 9 years.
Wow.
And then, of course, we get to 1984 with The Return of Godzilla, where we're told none of that shit happened.
I think, wasn't that 85, though?
It was released here as Godzilla in 1985. Godzilla.
Okay, okay. So it was,
where they
was,
added Raymond Burr again.
That's right. But it was, I mean, I remember that launch. I remember that being a really big deal, that Godzilla was back in the theater, and it was called, I think it was called Godzilla 1985 or something like that.
It was, and it was actually really touted. I remember that Dr. Pepper did a big ad campaign with it, and there's even a Dr. Pepper machine in the scenes with Raymond Burr.
Wow.
And I think Raymond Burr, by the way, his character's name is Steve Martin.
No, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, really?
Yes, because who was Steve Martin in 1954?
So, no, right. They used the same name when he came back.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And so I don't think Godzilla 1985 was a big hit. I loved it. I haven't seen it since. But, you know, Godzilla's bad. They're using the nice updated special effects.
I might have seen that in the theater now that you mention it. I might have actually gone to the theater to see that.
During this period, I was in the back of Starlog ordering every Godzilla model I could find because I had a bit of disposable income and I could finally send away for things. And
nice.
I was, you know, I went right for Godzilla movies. I loved Godzilla stuff.
Sure.
And, of course, VHS, they were starting to release them. I know Godzilla vs. Megalon was on every dollar release you could find.
But again, can I just ask, so when these things are happening and these things are coming out in Japan first still,
yeah,
are there – because, again, I don't know enough, but, like, is there, like, a new –
range of toy or vinyl figure or whatever.
From what I understand, he is an evergreen, and there's just Godzilla stuff in every toy store.
So in other words, but if you look at even the stuff that NECA has been doing recently, it's very much like, oh, that looks like the Godzilla of like the mid 80s. That one looks like the classic one from the, you know, yeah, early 80s, whatever. But I mean, would true Godzilla, you know, collectors, oh, yeah, fans know Godzilla 1985,
oh, yeah,
versus Godzilla 1992 kind of thing?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. It just goes into one of my favorite pieces. I own a lot of Godzilla stuff. When we reveal this, I discover that I might have a slight obsession. in 1984 or 85, Takara, in part of their Combat Man series, they made a, you know, it's like a G.I. Joe, and it looks like a Japanese man.
Oh, yeah.
And
I love
you
this.
Put the suit on him, the Godzilla suit. And I've got That's... one. I love it. And it comes with two different heads. It comes with the more serious Godzilla head, and then the, you know, the softer ping pong ball eyes of the late 60s, and that's my favorite Godzilla, so that's the one I have on there.
Now, but you just said something. Wasn't there also a Takara G.I. Joe, like 12-inch style? That I remember that
that's
being
what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the little Microman ones.
No, the Microman ones came later on. They came in about the mid-2000s.
Wait, so you have...
Yeah, Combat Man.
12-inch G.I. Joe one in the suit?
Yeah, I don't have it in the box. I just have it loose.
But still, I remember that I think was one of the It's a Small World,
yes,
type things.
Yeah, it was
and
one
or
of those things we didn't know existed.
Do you remember the other guy that would advertise in the toy shop called Toys and Stuff?
Yes, I love that guy. He was out of San Bernardino.
I think his name was Mike Stannard, Stannard, I think.
I thought it was something else.
He was British, but
yeah, he was Tony, wasn't it?
Maybe it was. I don't know, but I should scan these or take photos. I years and years and years ago, just like the It's a Small World thing, I would save, because he would do a 2-page
yeah,
color ad in the middle of Toy Shop, and I would pull those out and save them. And I have about 10 or 12 of those.
I would love to see those.
I should dig those out and photograph them for you. But I think that Takara Joe was in one of those ads, and it was just like, it just seemed like something that I'll never even be in the same zip code with.
They're not that hard to find. But it, you know, even when I got mine, I bought mine, I think, Christmas ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, I stole this. You know, I didn't get it for a lot of money. And, mm-hmm, and I don't think I stole it at all. I think I just think they're not that hard to find, but they are. You know, I'm still in that toy shop mind of everything is hard to get, even though, you know, I can press a button and go on Japanese auction sites now.
Right. It's more that you can – yeah, it's they're more obtainable now. They may be more money or still expensive or whatever, but they're more tangible now because we have so many more other, you know, outlets to find stuff.
Yeah.
You know, than ever before. And yet I've still never come across – oh, sorry. And yet I've still never come across the Mattel Flash Gordon toy gun, the pistol, the light-up pistol.
Yeah.
In 35 years, I've never – or 30 years, never come across one in the wild. So where are we at now with the movies?
Well, the movies came back for – in Japan at least, and I think they got home video release here. But we didn't see theatrical release for some time, actually. You know, they did Godzilla vs. Biollante, King Ghidorah. They're basically remaking Godzilla vs. Mothra, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, obviously, Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla, Godzilla vs. Destroyer. It wasn't until after the disaster of the Americanization of Godzilla, which shouldn't have been called Godzilla, the Roland Emmerich film with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yes.
If it was just called Dinosaurus, I think it would have been better received. But calling it, even though I still don't think it's a very good movie. Because isn't he like a lizard in that?
Yeah, that's like the opening pre-credit thing. Is like, yeah, he's some kind of lizard that grows. And
so
it's a female too, right?
Yeah, and it's just...
Everyone knows Godzilla's a man.
Yeah. And, they released Godzilla 2000 Millennium here in theaters, and I was in. That's the first time I ever saw a Godzilla movie in the theater.
Okay,
that wasn't like a a review cinema type thing. Was I raced out to see Godzilla 2000. I don't think it was a giant hit, but it was a lot of fun to see it. And then the rest of the movies I think went back to. Went back to straight, Blu-ray or DVD release here.
I have to tell you, other than that Godzilla 85, one that we just talked about, and maybe the odd sort of matinee on like a Saturday or Sunday kind of thing when I was a kid, I don't think – I don't really recall seeing Godzilla stuff in the theaters. Like I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it made its
way. Festival stuff.
Yeah, totally.
The last one produced was in 2004 called Godzilla Final Wars. I don't know anyone that has anything good to say about it or its director, so I've never watched it. And, I'm a little behind on all of my, modern Godzilla films. I still watch the old ones now and again. In fact, I just watched Monster Zero not too long ago, and but... I guess the Japanese are at it again. In 2016, they are producing another Godzilla movie called Shin Gojira, and I don't know anything about it other than its title. And, of course, we know that Legendary is really amping up stuff with a sequel to Godzilla, a sequel to King Kong, and then Godzilla versus King Kong by the time my kids are in college, which I'm really excited about.
There's one called Skull Island, right?
Yeah, that's going to be like a Kong sequel where I guess they're going to explain he's the same size as Godzilla now.
Now, but wait a second. You just said, did you enjoy the one from a couple years ago?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think that the one thing that they did in their marketing that was a bit odd. Now, I was still there, but... Whether he was in it or not, but the commercials showed about as much Bryan Cranston as the film did,
right?
And I did think that was a little bit of a bait and switch, so to speak. But the thing that really bugged me about it was he really was the best actor in the film, so a lot of gravitas just escaped.
Well, I dig what's his name. See, that's the thing. Is I dig what's his name? Who was in Batman Begins?
Oh!
I love him.
Ken,
he played Raish.
Ken
Watanabe, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's right.
Ken Watanabe, I think, and Sally blah blah, who were the two scientists.
I liked them.
Yeah, but they had nothing. They had nothing to do.
They really didn't have. They didn't get anything to do. You're absolutely right.
I think that he was that it was cool to have him, just for the connection to Japan. To say we've known about this creature. We called it this or whatever. That there was a history there. So it was kind of like a reboot, and yet still kind of acknowledging the history and all that. So that I dug.
I dug that, and I'll tell you the other thing I dug about that movie, and I'll explain why. There's a film done by Toho called Majin, Monster of Terror. It's very much in that same Godzilla genre, but it's like a historical drama, and it's about a giant statue that comes to life. And it's really well done. It's a long build-up to, there's a warlord oppressing people, and then finally the statue comes and just sorts his shit out. But the scariest part in that film, and it's actually scary. Even when I was a kid, I thought, but as an adult, there's a guy hiding from Majin. I mean, it's a giant, statue running around stomping on his soldiers. Mm-hmm. And the guy's hiding in a house, and he looks out the window at it, and it turns and makes eye contact with him.
Ooh.
And it's just like, wow, that's good. Like, it's really good. And then, of course, he had ordered his warlords at one point to put a nail in the statue's forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So he picks the guy up and he takes the nail and,
nice.
Attacks him to the wall. But
it's like the rear window moment.
Yeah.
Like you're watching from across the street and you think, no one's. Well, I'm looking through binoculars. They're not looking at me.
There was
person's right at you.
That 20. Yeah, exactly. The 2014 Godzilla. they had a lot of that in it, where you know the threat wasn't you know, people running away from what was obviously just a projection. They you know, the things were right beneath them or right. So they did a lot of that, and I think they did that right. You could argue that they did too much of it, but I did kind of like that quality about it, and I did sort of. You know, eventually, though, I did want this guy just to reunite with his kid, you know.
But was there ever a sense, though, in the history of these things that the Toho or the makers, like, did it get to a point where they were very aware of the cheesiness or the silly factor?
Oh, absolutely. I'd say the early 70s.
But that they played into it. They tried to make it more silly and more cheesy.
Yeah, there's wrestling moves in Megalon. You know,
I thought that was just part of how he. So that was played for laughs then.
Oh, he's flying at one point. Yeah, I mean, that was on the start of Mystery Science Theater.
Well, yeah, but you know, it could just be his attack style. You know.
Yeah, well, I can do the same attack style.
I'm sure you can.
It's the Shatner dropkick. no, they definitely had an era of silliness and an era of cheapness. Like anything that's gone on this long, the Bond series, Doctor Who, you have low periods,
right?
You know, yeah. Where you go, you know, and
but I mean, I'm saying it got to a point where it was almost kind of to use this awful term that's like kind of meta, where like they were aware of the cheesiness, and so they added, you know, more silliness in there just to. Just
winking,
kind of,
winking at the camera.
Yeah, winking absolutely. At the yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So there was that. They did actually go there sometimes.
Absolutely did. Yep.
Oh, interesting. Very
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, and those are some of my favorites. They're also, you know, other people want to just pretend they didn't happen. You know,
right.
that's just like anything else. People have their favorites. They say, you know, some people love the original 1954. It's great, but it's not my favorite because I like cheese, and you should know that. I don't take things super seriously, and
cheese on everything.
I like cheese hoagies, on everything.
Your hoagies, your soup.
I do. I actually don't like onions, but I order French onion soup all the time.
Yeah, hold the onion, add the cheese, extra cheese. Oh yeah, I know how you roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm an open book. Where are we at? So where are we at now with the? With Gojira, we got updates. We know what's and so you dug the new movie, but did you bother getting any of the new incarnation, like any toys of the new incarnation of Gojira?
Not a lick. I was very tempted by the Jax 24-inch or whatever that was of like the Shogun Warriors Godzilla. It was an amazing price. I saw one in Canada at retail, and they didn't even have a shelf for it. They just put it on the floor in Toys R Us, and I was sitting there going, "Boy, this is my one and only shot." But I have so much, and this is not bragging because I don't have a lot of space. But
right.
I have the Mattel Godzilla, I have the Popey Godzilla. I recently did get the Toynami. Toynami has done this brilliant thing where they've taken the original Mattel Godzilla and they've re-sculpted it to look more like Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Did you get that?
I got one of those. But in the time that I ordered it, pre-ordered it from Entertainment Earth and the time it got here, I had picked up two Shogun Warriors and the Popey. And it's like, oh, that space I was going to put that new Godzilla toy, now I can't even walk around.
Yeah,
and it was
it's a big.
It's really big, and my wife kind of was like, well, "What are you, five? You know, like you got all these Godzillas," and you know, I joked with her. I said, "Hey, if there was a sandbox in this house, I'd be in it right now."
If you got too much stuff, you can always send a couple of things that are taking up space.
It went to a very good home.
Send them out west. I can just keep an eye on them for you. So make sure no one else gets them and they're treated right. I mean, come on.
I know no one would love it more than you, but
what am I doing here?
I did pass it along to a good friend of mine who's a bigger Godzilla fan than me. So
fine. Yeah. I get dibs on the next thing, whatever
sure,
it is,
sure.
Regardless of what it is.
It'll be my tax bill.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's
Canadian money though, so it's like 65 off for you.
Yeah, it's like found money.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. There's our Godzilla episode. It took a while to get here, and not our fault. Things happen. Glitches in the Matrix. Eddie's in the time.
I still feel bad because we really did lose now I'll over romanticize it. It was the greatest episode we ever did.
It was the greatest and one of the greatest bits of audio recording ever in the history of audio, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Marconi is probably spinning in his grave right now. That
Jason sang a version of Volare that just had tears in my eyes, but you know we just can't repeat that.
No, I couldn't do that, so I did Johnny Yuma instead, which is not quite the same thing.
But so, we can still keep this conversation going on our Facebook page. We have Podstallions Facebook page. Come in, tell us what your favorite Godzilla is. Tell us what your least favorite Godzilla is.
Tell us what we missed and what you'd like to see in the future, maybe. I, for one, would like to see more classic monsters. So whatever's going to happen with the new Gojira and Kong or whatever else, I want to see Rodan. I want to see Ghidra, et cetera. Those kinds of dudes.
Minya?
Enya?
Minya. Not Enya. Not the sail away lady.
Cranberries. Any of those female singers from back then.
Dolores O'Riordan?
Basha. Sade, any of them, really. I'm good. Or did you mean the monster?
I did, yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But Godzilla's, I mean, I'm not against, sucks. If Enya wants to do something in the end credits, that's okay, too.
So would you would like to see, what's your number one monster you'd like to see back?
Oh, I'd want to see, besides Godzilla, besides Kong, which we're already getting, I would want to see Ghidra.
Ghidra?
Yeah, I'd want to see Ghidra.
Popular choice, yeah.
Or, but I know this is going to be way down the road, somebody's got to bring Jaguar back in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not, you know, a Christopher Nolan type universe, but...
No, but everything has to be the Christopher Nolan type universe.
I would really like to see a shift back to a little bit of silly, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think we're all too serious now.
I know. It's been hard to keep a straight face.
Put those underpants back on Superman. We're all okay with it.
Of how serious you are.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everybody learned something. I know I did, as usual. If you can find a more entertaining and educational pop culture podcast anywhere down the dial, you go ahead and listen to it and don't ever come back and tell us. But I hope you learned something and enjoyed it. We always do. And next time, and throw some topics at us. We love getting suggestions, too, because God knows we're running out of material.
That's right. We're out of ideas.
Out of ideas, officially.
I just want to say good luck to Jason this month. He is off to England to do, I would say, dream work by hosting the 35th anniversary of Flash Gordon Q&A.
Yes, that's right, at BAFTA on BAFTA. November 28th. It's going to be a great trip. Got lots of other things lined up and things to do and people to see and food to eat and all that. And then at the end of it, hopefully, if everything goes to plan and the planets keep lining up the way they are, yes, I will be moderating the Q&A at BAFTA 35th anniversary of Flash Gordon with a good chunk of the cast and crew and, you know, whoever else wants to show up. It's going to be – it's something. It's still kind of pinching myself that this is actually happening, but it is actually happening. And BAFTA has my name. They've got my name somewhere, and it's going into a program. So I have to be there to do this, right?
So neat. And I've paid for a digital download, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I hope I don't let you down. I hope I don't let everybody down in any way.
Well, I will send you a list of complaints after I watch it. You know,
please do.
Notes where you could have improved.
Ask, and I was gonna open with. Well, I'm glad everybody's here from Flash Gordon's terrific. Unfortunately, I thought this was a Rocky Horror reunion, and I haven't prepped for Flash Gordon at all. So talk amongst yourselves.
But I am dressed as Frankenfurter.
Yeah, we're also, I just for the record, if anybody is going, you know, we're discouraging cosplay and or you know, such things. No offense to any of it, but this is kind of a fancy pants affair.
Ooh, okay.
You don't want to show up in a toga and everyone else is dressed for a funeral. You really don't.
Damn. Okay.
Just saying. Yeah. But
who said that from experience.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. See you in 30 days.
Bye.